It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri.
Get it.
And we got a good show lined up for you today. Buddy Kofoit's going to join us here in a little bit. We're going to talk about a lot of things that have been going on in his career. Man, he has had so much. The winner of the High Limit Race, the BC39. He had that big wreck last weekend in the ARCA race, so we got a lot to talk about with Buddy Kofoit here in just a little bit. But I want to start off the show today by talking about a local legend that has passed away in Kansas City. I'm not sure if anybody remembers Len Dawson. He was the quarterback of the championship team that won the world championship in the NFL. It was the 69 season. They won the Super Bowl in 1970. Len Dawson, Lenny the Cool, has passed away. He's been in hospice for about a week now, and it's a sad day for a lot of people in Kansas City right now because I don't know how many people remember Len Dawson, but he was on the HBO show Inside the NFL with Nick Bonacani and what was the Chris's name, Kirk? Chris Collinsworth. That's it. So anyway, a kind of a sad day for the people that live here in Kansas City. You know, I met Len Dawson. I got to tell this story. Len Dawson retired in 1975. And when I was going to high school, I was in a class called Radio and TV and Duet Acting, and I did a radio show at Winnetonka back in the day when I was 16, 17 years old. So I've been doing this a long time. But anyway, long story short is I won a contest, and I had a chance to go down to Q104, which was the local rock station at the time. It's country now, but it was rock back in those days. And I was in the studio with Ray Sherman watching him do his show. And who walked in the door but none other? This is about 1976, 77. I can't remember what year it was. Len Dawson walks in and introduces himself to me. And this is just after he retired from his NFL career. He was still just a huge, huge star in Kansas City. And it was so cool to meet him. And unfortunately, we've lost old Lenny the Cool today, a sad day for a lot of people in Kansas City. Did you know who Len Dawson was, Austin?
You know. You already know the answer to that.
Come on now.
No.
You didn't know Len Dawson, but you knew of him, though, right?
No. First time I heard his name was this week. They announced
Get
that he was
sick.
Get
out of here.
Not even joking.
That is crazy. How could you not know who Len Dawson was? The greatest quarterback other than Patrick Mahomes. That's, well, Joe Montana was pretty darn good when he was here, but he was only here for a couple years. But Len Dawson was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and he played right here in Kansas City, won the Super Bowl back in 1970, and you don't even know who he is. How is that? You need to get a little more up to speed on what's going on in Kansas City, buddy.
No, thanks.
Why? You're not interested?
No, I guess it's the water park discussion from yesterday. It doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't change what I have to do day in and day out. It doesn't affect me and my racing and, you know, the career that I'm working for. It doesn't affect it. Doesn't do anything good for it. I don't say good. In my mind right now, doesn't do anything for it, so don't need to be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, Tammy knows who Len Dawson is. She says, "Happy hump day, boys. I was a big fan of Len Dawson as a kid, even growing up in Philadelphia as a Philadelphia Eagle fan." Let me ask you, Tammy, were you a big Andy Reid fan when Andy Reid was the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles? That's what I want to know. And Melvin's just checking in from Ohio today. We always appreciate you, Melvin, for checking in with us. Andy Reid, big coach. 14 years, I think, he coached at Philadelphia. A lot of people didn't care much for Andy Reid when he left because he never won a Super Bowl. But we still love Big Red. How about that? He is one of the greatest football coaches. Let me ask you this, Tammy. Do you think now that Big Red won the Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs, do you think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame? This is I'm asking Tammy this. We're having a one-on-one conversation right now. I want to ask you, do you think he belongs in the National Football Hall of Fame? I say yes. I think he makes it in. He's one of the all-time winningest coaches in the NFL. And she says, absolutely. I'm with you, Tammy. That's pretty good stuff right there. I didn't know that you lived in Philadelphia. I didn't have any idea that that was the only coach to ever win 100 games with two different franchises. Great coach, says Caleb. And I agree with you 100%. We are boring Austin O'Neal to death right now.
I wouldn't go that far with it. I'll listen to it. I'll listen to you guys talk about it all day. I just doesn't do anything for me.
You never watch a Chiefs game, do you?
You know, I had this superstition going for a while. I was it might have been a year or two ago that, you know, I watched maybe a quarter of a game, half of a game, and they lost. And that was during one of their hot streaks. And I didn't watch the next week, and they won by a landslide. So I'm going to be a little superstitious and say that, you know, I don't watch so they can win, and 90% of the time, that's right.
you don't watch so they can win.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of
makes sense. I mean, if that's the sacrifice I got to make for the town to have success, I'm good with doing that.
Let me ask you, Austin, are you really superstitious? Are you that superstitious?
Not
is that running your family?
I don't know.
Was your dad superstitious?
I don't remember.
Was your grandpa superstitious?
I don't think so. I never was really told if they were or were not. I just, you know, if I get on a hot streak of, you know, either winning or running good, you know, I'll figure out, you know, what did I do different from
what clothes you wore that day, whatnot.
Yeah, I remember when I ran micros, I went on a streak of winning two or three races in a row, and we all wore the same shirt, you know, every week. And, you know, we finally broke that and had to find something new. It's just, I don't know, I'm superstitious if I'm doing well. No matter what I'm doing, I guess.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm just to be honest with you, I'm a huge Chiefs fan. Here's three things that I'm a fan of, right? I'm a fan, first and foremost, of racing. Then I'm a big fan, and I know I've said this on the air, I'm nearly as big a fan of music as I am of racing. And then the final thing that I'm a big fan of is the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs just do it for me. This is the time of year when I get really excited, right? I don't get excited about a lot of things, but I get excited and I get a little giddy when it comes to Chiefs football. Unlike my producer, Austin O'Neal, who doesn't get excited. What, Austin, let me ask you this. Other than racing, I just want to ask you this question. It's got to be an other than racing question. What gets you excited in life other than racing? Give me something. Come on, give me one thing that makes you a little bit excited other than racing. Anything?
Wow.
That's a tough question for you, isn't it?
Very tough question. So I'm going to give you a couple of things that I do, and you can determine if that's, you know, outside of racing.
Yeah.
Graphic design, which still correlates with racing in a way.
Well, and you do a lot of that here.
Yeah, I do some of that here, yeah. More on the video side than the graphics. But yeah. Cleaning, that's always
keeping
love cleaning.
Keeping your stuff clean.
Yeah, I like vacuums and rugs. Sounds weird, but I love them.
I'm going to get a vacuum down here so you can start vacuuming.
Let's not do that. Only if it's like a black running mat, then I'll take care of it.
Oh, like in your trailer.
Like in a trailer. I'll take care of that. Carpet, no, not my thing.
Yeah.
The third thing would probably be, well, once again, sim racing. I mean, I spent all night long last night.
How'd you do?
On the sim and reading telemetry and data on how to make my cars faster. So probably like...
What of those three is your number one thing?
You know, data stuff, I guess.
What is your number one thing?
I can't pick between those three. Come
on, you got to pick one. It's sim racing has got to be it,
I will say
it?
We'll say that and graphic design, because I can do sim racing and graphic design at the same time and have custom cars. So, but still, it's involved with racing.
Right, right, exactly. But sim racing, you're pretty good at it, right? How'd you do last night?
I didn't race last night.
I thought you said you did.
Yeah, I just did test sessions. I spent 4 hours pulling telemetry data on how the shocks and the suspension and the ride heights were running in it was a mock qualifying run in a dirt midget to get my setups faster. I picked up 3/10. So
So that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big engineering stuff, I guess you could say.
I want to know, everybody that's listening to the show right now, what is their favorite thing in life? Marie is listening from Ohio today. Tammy says, my husband and I have three loves in our life. Our three children. You know, I should have said that. I should have said my kids. Those are the real love of my life. I'm glad you brought that to my attention there, Tammy. Our three and new granddaughter, dirt track racing and football. Here's the thing, Tammy. My daughters, they don't want to work. I mean, all they do is want to work. They don't want to have babies. All they do is work, 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 work. My kids, they get it from me and they get it from their mom. They are workaholics. That's all they want to do is work, 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 work. Wes Goodman says, cooking barbecue. We know that about you, Wes. We know that you are a barbecue king, and I can't wait to get down to Devil's Bowl for the Winter Nationals to get over there and have a little piece of your barbecue. If you've never been to Devil's Bowl, Wes Goodwin sits right over there, and right as you go into the pits, he's got a trailer over there, and you go over there and you buy some barbecue. It's delicious. Excellent. Excellent barbecue. Halfway to Kokomo, says Marie. Virtually all sports, car racing, and music, says Dave Tyson. Jeff, he chimes in. He says basketball because it is played during the off season for racing. I don't know about you, but me personally, I played basketball 1 year. I wasn't the tallest guy on the team, but basketball for me, I can't get into it. I played it 1 year, and to be honest with you, I sat on the bench most of the time. I really didn't. I really wasn't that good in basketball. I was pretty good in football and tennis, though. Did you know that I played tennis, Austin? Did you know that?
No, I did not.
You know, I played on the Missouri championship team that got to go to Washington, D.C. We stayed at Georgetown University. There was four people that were in the 12 and under. I was 12 years old, 1972. That tells you how old I am. And we got on a bus and we went to Washington, D.C. There was four kids in each age group. And let me tell you something, that bus ride out to Washington, D.C. on a Greyhound bus with a bunch of young kids, I don't even want to start to tell you what happened on that bus. It was pretty crazy. It was a lot of fun back in those days. But that was 1972. It was the National Junior Tennis League Championships. And fortunately, I was lucky enough to play in those championships in Washington, D.C. Have you ever played tennis, Austin? ever?
Yeah, I think I did it years ago in school during one of my gym classes. It wasn't too bad.
Mm.
There was a parking lot behind the tennis courts at my high school.
And?
There might have been a couple of balls lost under some cars and maybe
you hit
some,
it over the fence?
Smoked it over the fence, and luckily I didn't smoke any cars, but yeah, I came close a couple times.
Marie says, bye. See you Saturday morning. I guess she's got a bug out. Maybe she's not getting a good signal as they drive down the road. Chase Randall won the Sprint Invader show at Quincy, Illinois Sunday night. His fifth win of the year in the zero. Did you know that? Chase Randall?
I seen Chase won. Chase is...
Little chicken?
He's done really well in Iowa. He made the move to go run Knoxville full-time this year, and then... You know, aside from racing Knoxville, he's followed the Sprint Invader Tour, and they take it to a vast variety of tracks, and he's been able to adapt and you know, run really well there, and it's been cool turning on, you know, my race pass and checking, you know, the Sprint Invader Series and seeing Chase, you know, Chase have success and run well. I remember racing Chase years ago with, you know, micros and even when we made the move to sprint cars, so... No, it's cool to see.
You raced with him. Where'd you guys race at together?
We ran some of like Now 600 stuff together down in Tulsa with the micros. And then in 2020, he came up to the Midwest or from Texas and ran with ASCS for a little bit. And I was at a handful of shows with him. But no, it's a good family. We know him pretty well. Or know him, you know, friendly. So, yeah, it's cool to see him, you know, have some success in a sprint car now.
How old is he now?
He's about my age. He's a senior in
about
high school.
19?
So he's 18 now.
18?
17, 18.
Yeah. Where do you rank him as one of the up-and-comer drivers? Because Chase Randall's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Would you think he's up there? Let me ask you this, Austin. Do you think he's in the top 10 of young drivers coming up through the ranks right now?
Yeah, I think you could put him in the top 10.
Yeah?
You know, from spots 1 through 10, I'm not sure where he would land. But I think he'd definitely be in the top 10 for sure.
Kind of mid-pack guy.
Yeah,
I
would say so. Cause you have Tim's, you have Buddy, you have, you know, a handful of guys that I'm forgetting, or, you know, we'll think of here after we're done talking about it, but
Corey Day.
Yeah. Corey Day for sure.
Yeah.
You know, he's been really impressive in Jason Myers' stuff, and yeah, I definitely think he'd be in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah. You know, he ran with us quite a bit with the Luxor ASCS National Sprint Car Tour, and every time I saw him, man, he gets up on the gas pretty good. He's a pretty damn good racer. Can he make it? Who would you compare him to talent-wise of some of the young people coming up through the ranks? Is there somebody that's similar to him in style, and driving style, and ability wise, do you think?
I'm not sure who I would compare him to. You know, I think.
Is he close to Ryan Timms, or do you think he's a couple spots back from Ryan Timms?
I think I'd probably compare him more to like a Corey Day.
Yeah.
Than maybe anybody. I just the interesting thing about Chase is he went and ran USAC for, you know, 2 years, I think it was.
Right.
And race, you know, midgets. And with midget racing, you got to be, you know, up on the wheel and really aggressive. And I think that's, you know, really paying off in the sprint car. You have to be smooth. But if you can be aggressive, you know, when you need to be, you know, especially on restarts and you know, when you're in a pack, you know, that's what really makes your race. And I think Chase having the experience of being really aggressive in the midget, knowing how to you know, use that to his advantage, you know, bringing that to the sprint cars is what is kind of, you know, making him shine a little bit more than maybe some others.
I'm going to kind of disagree with you a little bit. I think Corey Day is a little more talented, if you want to know the truth. Every time I see him, man, that guy's just up on the wheel.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they're all different in their own ways, right? Like, you know, Chase is more, you know, stuck with the 360s. Yeah, as you got Corey Day racing California in the 410s, which, you know, comparing the Midwest to the California, that's tough. And you have Timms, who's just, running everything and anything. So, you know, you can compare them in a way, but, you know, they're all kind of, you know, different in their respective, you know, categories.
You know, there's a lot of young, talented drivers that we don't even know of yet.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of them out there that we just haven't seen on the racetrack yet. So we just have to wait and see. And I'm excited. I think there's more young, talented drivers coming up through the ranks right now than ever in the past. Would you agree with that?
Yes, for sure. I mean, it's just the opportunities to become or be able to be a part of a series or right. be a part of you know, the next generation movement of sprint car racing and midget racing is the opportunities that are so much easier to
the
come across now.
Bright. The future
yeah, I mean,
is bright.
It's easy, you know, if you, you know, it always seems that, you know, talent, you know, always has a little money behind them, you know, and that's what, you know, is able to get them on the map, you know.
Right.
You know, aside from their talent, they have the money to bring to a program like a Keith Koontz and get a rider, or Chad Boater, or, you know, those teams that offer those rides and that, you know, that they spend that little money to get there and their talent takes them the rest of the way.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Buddy Kofoid's going to join us here on the show. Can't wait to talk to him about all the things that have been going on. We talked to him down at the Chili Bowl. I believe he ran fourth at the Chili Bowl. He started fifth, I think it was. We'll talk to him about the Chili Bowl, BC39, the high limit race, his wreck that he had last weekend in the ARCA race at Springfield, that and more right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines.
Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. And joining us now on the show is the Knoxville Rookie of the Year, finished 11th. He joins us now. Buddy Kofoid joins us. Buddy, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man. So much has happened to you since we spoke to you down at the Chili Bowl. I want to kind of step back, and I want to talk a little bit about your performance at the Chili Bowl. Were you happy with that fourth place finish?
I guess compared to my first two attempts, it was definitely better. But you know, I feel like I've improved a lot, and I feel like our cars have gotten a lot better there, to where I feel like there's still more to be had. And you know, obviously, I won't be completely satisfied until I have a driller.
Right.
You know, Tuesday was really cool to you know, win your prelim at Chili Bowl is huge, and you know, and to beat the guys we did and the way we did it was really cool. And but I feel like, you know, if we had the car that we had Tuesday on Saturday, I feel like it might have been a different story. I feel like that was on Tuesday was the best I've ever felt in the building, but Saturday we were just not quite there, and just tried to change some stuff to be better, and it just didn't quite work.
Where were you off a little bit on Saturday night at the Chili Bowl?
I was just really tight on the cushion, more than I normally would be there, or really probably anywhere else. But then also to run the bottom or kind of slide myself, which was actually working really well too. I was just too free to do that, so I figured I can make the most speed on the cushion, so I just had to make that work.
Yeah, no doubt. I've got to talk to you. Would you consider the biggest win of your career the BC 39? Is that the biggest win of your career so far to date, you think?
I would say it was one of them, just because of what it means and you know, where it is, right? You know, probably the greatest racetrack in the world. And, you know, obviously in memory of Brian and everything it stands for. So I would say that was my biggest midget win, but probably not my biggest win. I would say, you know, beating the Outlaws is something I take a lot of pride in. You know, it's something I've always wanted to do. And coming from sprint cars, that was probably one of the highest things on my list, was to win an outlaw race. And so I would say that one's probably the biggest one.
Right. That would have been up the High Bank Nationals up there at Husetts back in June. That was a really big win. You could just see it on your face when you got out of that car that meant so much to you to beat the very best in wing sprint car racing.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's, you know, like I said, growing up in California, you know, I always went to the Gold Cup for a while and always stayed the whole week. And, you know, Steve Kinzer is always my favorite driver. And I grew up a sprint car fan and racing go-karts. I always wanted to be a sprint car driver. So then I started running sprint cars locally in California. And and then moved out to the Midwest to race sprint cars originally, and then got into midgets and involved with Toyota. And, but sprint cars have always had a special place in my heart, and, you know, to me, they're the probably the greatest drivers on dirt, or probably some of the best in the world that I would consider. So to say that I beat them is something that I feel like not a lot of people can say, and it probably gave me the most satisfaction as a race car driver.
Yeah. I know when we were talking about that BC39 that you and McIntosh, man, you guys were sliding each other. That was a pretty remarkable race, the way you guys were racing each other for the win there.
Yeah, it was, you know, like I said, also back when I won that race, that was probably one of the best midget races I've been a part of. You know, and then just watching over again, like, I feel like as a fan standpoint, you know, I felt like we put on a really good race and didn't touch, you know, one car, or, you know, Ken and I, we never even got close to touching each other. And it was always back and forth. And as a driver, that's fun. And as a fan, I'm sure that's what they want to see. So to come out on top, not only for, you know, a race like that, but the way I won and the race that we put on was really cool. And, you know, it's pretty special to win it that way. You know, starting back and, you know, kind of coming up and running the fence like that is, it probably looked crazy, but it's crazy how comfortable it actually feels and, you know, how good it is to run up like that and to, you know, I thought the only one that could really get up there and do that and try and make it work.
Yeah. Man, I got to tell you that what Brad Sweet and Kyle Larson are doing with the high-limit sprint car races that they're going to be running next year, you won the inaugural event at Lincoln Park. Just take us back, and that has to mean something to you to win the inaugural event of that high-limit series.
Yeah, that was also, you know, for me, one of my bigger wins as well, and also one of the bigger paying races that I've won in my career. And but, you know, like I said, going back to what I said earlier, growing up in California, I always grew up a Brad Sweet and Kyle Larson fan, and you know, they both raced go-karts and was from the, you know, grew up racing sprint cars in the same area that I did, and you know, went on to do what they do now, and so I always just grew up a fan because of where they came from, which was similar to where I came from. And but, you know, also to be the first time winner of any series is really cool, but also for something like that put on both by them, for something that's just going to continue to grow and be bigger and better. So you know, to be the first name on that stat sheet's pretty cool.
Are you planning on trying to run the 12 races that they're going to run next year? Is that in your playbook?
So I don't 100% know exactly what Crouch Motorsports and I will do yet for next year. You know, I would think we'll try and race as much as we can, and if that's in the cards, we will most definitely support that series and try and do most all of it, or, you know, if we can do all of it to the best of our ability.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, and maybe this is a tough question for you, but what do you prefer to drive more than anything else? Is it a midget, or is it a wing sprint car, or is there something else that you like to drive a little bit more than any of those?
You know, I feel like I got this question a lot more last year, you know, between a midget and a sprint car, at least. And, you know, I never could say which one, because I always felt like they were both fun and great in their own way. You know, and to me, it's kind of apples to oranges, just because the racing is a different style and just a different car of feel in general. But
right
now, I would say, now that I've been finally gotten to get back in a sprint car and race more on a consistent you know, basis in the wing sprint cars, I would say probably the wing sprint car right now, just because of, you know, Crouch Motorsports is, you know, probably one of the best teams I've ran for, and Layton is really great to be a part of, and Brad and Steven and Blade are really fun to be around, and I feel like we're finally, you know, clicking, and everything's going in the right direction. I'm happy, and
yeah,
my better years in a sprint car, so
yeah,
I'd say the sprint car, but you know, this year compared to any other year in my career, you know, I think this year, all said and done, I'll probably have ran 8 or 9 different race cars. So, you know, I wanted to, since I moved up to the Midwest, I was like, oh man, I want to get in a Silver Crown car.
Right.
So even though I've only done one race, I've gotten to run one, and it was better than I thought. So I enjoy doing that. And then, you know, the pavement midget stuff has been really fun. And then getting to run a truck was an incredible experience. And then, you know, my pavement late model stuff is also really fun to me. So I really enjoy it all, but the sprint cars are probably more towards the top right now.
Right. Let's talk about that truck race, man. You look pretty fast there at Bristol. Talk about that race, and you had to be disappointed that you got caught up in that wreck, right?
Yeah, I know it's, you know, for my first time in a stock car or something bigger than a late model, I guess. And, you know, and on a stage like that in the truck series, and then also at Bristol, you know, where the atmosphere is just next level,
mm-hmm.
Was really cool to be a part of. And that, I always knew I wanted to go to NASCAR. That's always been my goal, my dream. But, you know, when I was there walking around, looking around or running, I kind of solidified that I still wanted to, you know, hopefully get there someday. And, you know, and I still do. But yeah, I thought it was, you know, up to that point, it was a really good day. And, you know, the heat race, I think we went 9th or 7th to 3rd. And then, you know, I was in the first heat race, so it was super wet, and then it overheated or packed via grill, and it overheated, and, you know, pulled in and had to start last. So
yeah,
at that point, all I had to do was, or all I could do is go forward and just sort of picking them off. And I felt like I got better and our truck got better. And then, you know, eventually got to, I think it was about 20 to go. And, you know, at that point in stage 3, I kind of had gotten a little bit looser and looser because we stayed out from stage 2 to 3. And, you know, and then, I was running 4th and got slid. And I think my dirt instinct just kicked in for a second. I was like, oh man, if I can
cut back,
turn it down and diamond down and drive down the hill, I can get him back. And you just can't be that aggressive with something like that, with the long wheelbase, and they're just heavy and kind of more sluggish, if you will.
Right.
To where they just get to a point where they get sideways and then you just can't catch it. And that's kind of what happened with a mixture of that and just continually getting a little looser and looser. So it's just kind of an unfortunate thing, and kind of, but overall it was a really good experience. And at least, you know, at the very least, I feel like people were talking about it, and I feel like a lot of people was definitely watching.
I know that you drove their ARCA car this last weekend, and that was a pretty big blow that you took right there. Talk about that a little bit. And man, you had nowhere to go.
Yeah. Motorsports, you know, first off, gave me a really good car, and, you know, and it was, you know, Kevin Reed and Billy and all of them were really great to work with, and things clicked pretty quickly. And, you know, we were really quick in practice, and, you know, it was my first time in a ARCA car and first time on anything bigger than a half mile in anything. And, you know, I thought we were really good, and but just had to start 6th and got the 2nd. I felt like we were a little bit faster than the leader, but the worst problem is vision, and the track got dustier, and
yeah.
you know, with the when the dirt hits the windshield, it'll leave like a, I guess, like a little
film,
a white smudge from where the mud was, and then it just gets all over. And then with the sun and the dust, you really can't see. So, you know, when I was following Jesse, whether I was on his bumper or 10 cars behind him, I couldn't see him for the 20 or 30 laps I was chasing him or more. And, so I really don't, I don't know. It just, when I hit him, I was still wide open. That's how bad the vision was. So,
oh, wow.
I don't know what can be done different about that, or, just with the people racing, you know, it's so diverse. So, you know, like I said, his dust was kicked up, and then Jesse might have just saw him, and then I was following Jesse's dust, and so I had almost no vision from Jesse, let alone the car that I hit. So I just had no idea, and I didn't hear anything on the radio from turn three on. So
yeah,
it was at that point, that was pretty quiet too. So it was definitely a shock.
You know, Kyle, he mentioned one time that if they're going to race these cars on dirt, they need to take the windshields out of them. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, on as far as I know, on all professional dirt racing or any professional dirt series or cars, there is no windshields.
Right.
So, you know, and I understand that those are pavement based series that are running, you know, dirt a couple times, which I think is really great.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if you want to make it better, almost a little bit more legit, you got to do something about the vision through the windshields. And so I don't know. I can't really comment on exactly what that would be, but
right.
I think windshield wise, there has to be a change in order to make it better. I mean, for example, you know, I was following Jesse and a rock hit the windshield and it peeled a tear off for me.
Oh.
And it turned the grass in the infield from white to green. That's how bad it was, the vision wise. And then 20 laps later, went back to most things was a white tan color on anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was crazy. When the tear off came off, the grass like popped back to green. It was crazy.
Yeah. What do you think is the most difficult thing about driving a 3,450-pound stock car compared to where you came from sprint cars and midgets? What is the hardest thing for you to get a grasp on driving these heavy cars?
You know, I would say just the weight, and you have to be more patient as far as how you drive it, just because, you know, you don't have as much grip, and there's a lot of weight behind you that's going to keep pushing you into the corner. And so you got to, I feel like, back up your engine more than normal and make sure you're, you know, pretty straight, you know, on entry, so you don't lose the right rear, so you don't get yourself loose and pushed up the hill or you know, spin out, because
right.
They're really hard to catch once you get to that certain. I just say you almost still got to race it with the pavement mentality, just super straight and consistent, and you got to be aware of the weight that you have. But other than that, you know, once I felt like I got racing, you know, because I ran some late model stuff and then the truck stuff and now the ARCA stuff, I felt like I've gotten used to the weight, but you still have to just keep that in mind. Yeah. And but then after that, I felt like the more laps I got in, the more it came pretty natural. And at that point, I was just focused on getting past the leader.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you know, but I owned an ARCA team for 4 years. And, man, oh, man, it cost me my life savings, that ARCA team did. It just ate my lunch, that whole team did. So let me ask you this. How often, I know there's not a lot of seats available, right? And and you'd probably want to start in the Truck Series, work your way to the Xfinity Series. The Cup Series, there's not a lot of seats available right now. But do you have I'm not trying to get into your personal business, but do people come up and do they talk to you about trying to get to that next level? Do you have communication with some of the teams? I'm not asking you to mention names, but does that happen from time to time?
Technically, no. So being involved with Toyota and as a development driver for them and being in their system to hopefully move up and keep moving up with the vision of getting the Cup, they have a lot of great, you know, teams that they have in each series and
right.
And in each level. And, you know, like that Venturini, that's a Toyota team that they chose to put me in. And then KBM obviously is a Toyota truck team that they chose to put me in. And same thing with my pavement late model races with Wilson Motorsports. They, you know, in Bonsess, they, put me in, you know, kind of as a part of the system of the team that they use to get there. And, you know, obviously if you win and, or at least run really good and do your job, they'll move you up and they'll find a team for you. So,
yeah,
it's kind of more on them to figure that out and win races and
right.
do everything I need to do. And then they'll figure out the ins and outs of that and then, you know, go from there.
All right. What are you going to be doing this weekend? Are you going to SmackDown or what are you going to do this weekend?
No, so I actually have a pavement late model race at Motor Mile in Virginia.
Oh, wow. How do you like driving the late model? Are you enjoying that?
Say that again, sorry.
Do you enjoy driving the late model?
Yeah, because that's, you know, to me, that's, well, pavement at first off is completely different than what I'm used to.
Yeah.
And the late model alone. So it's a challenge that I want to get better at. But also, I've always wanted to get the Cup. And that's, you know, one of the first steps from transitioning from what I'm doing on dirt to that.
Yeah.
To hopefully get my foot in to get there someday. So I enjoy it for that aspect. But then also, it's just a new challenge to be a better all-around race car driver.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, buddy, I can't thank you enough for taking the time. I know that you joined us at the Chili Bowl down there, and I can't thank you enough for joining us today here on Mostly Motorsports. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Great things are in your future, and I think a lot of people around the country are pulling for you to get to the highest level. I know I am. I know Austin O'Neill is as well. So good luck to you down the road, my friend, and keep on digging and keep on winning those races because that's what matters more than anything is winning races, right?
Yeah. No, for sure. I appreciate you guys having me on and always enjoy talking with you guys. So hopefully we can do it again soon, but I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, there you have it, Buddy Kovoit. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back with more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster. faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I want to remind everybody about the great tribute to Ascot Park that's going on right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. They've got video, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia, all kinds of cars from Ascot Park that raced back in the day. I've been telling you that my favorite car up there is Jimmy Oskey's old paint sprint car. It's up there right now. Dean Thompson's number two sprint car is up there. Parnelli Jones, number 98. Turkey Knight Midget is there as well. There's a lot of cars up there, folks. It is a great tribute to Ascot Park. And again, that's going to be going on through October 1st up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And if you're going to go up to Knoxville for the final race of the year, go over to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check it out. And while you're there, buy you a raffle ticket for the 2022 Triple X Chassis 410 Sprint Car that they're going to be giving away. That they'll be doing that on Friday, December 16th. And if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. Folks, I'm telling you, This, they're giving you $25,000 on top of the race car to help with the taxes on it as well. This is a complete race-ready 410 sprint car, folks. It's probably worth $100,000. Would you say, Austin, that it's probably worth $100,000? By the time you buy a 410 car and a complete chassis, what do you think? 80, 90, 100?
I think 100's a good number to go for.
Yeah, I think
you got $100,000. Say it's about $100,000. I'm gonna say the 410. It's from Speedway,
right?
Which is a stout motor.
Well, they're 60, 70, aren't they? Probably.
Yep, they're about 60 to 70, which should make about 950-940 horsepower.
Right,
and which is only 20-25, if that, off of some of your good riders and.
Right.
Some of your top line stuff, maybe not with the Outlaws, but for anything like the All-Stars or anything else.
What's
around
that
here,
motor in there?
It's a Speedway Motors 410.
Oh.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's a Moyle.
A Moyle.
Okay.
Thinking Speedway because that's where your motor's at.
No, because last year was a Speedway.
Oh, it was.
That's why I'm thinking. Okay.
It's a Moyle this year.
It's a Moyle. It was
a complete race-ready motor.
Yeah, because last year was a Speedway with an Eagle, and then this year it's a Moyle with a Triple X.
Right.
I'm living in the past right now.
Well, that's all right. We do that. I live in the past all the time.
I got all caught up on the facts of how good the Speedway motors are.
Right, right. Well, that's what. Hopefully, your motor will turn out really good up there. And if you can't make it again, go to SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com in order to get you a motor. Or Kokomo, the SmackDowns, what is that? Is that Thursday,
tomorrow.
Friday, Saturday?
Yep.
Right? That's going to be pretty good. Are you anxious to see that, Kokomo, at Kokomo?
Yeah, SmackDown should be really interesting. I always put on, I think Kokomo is one of the best non-wing tracks they have in the country right now. SmackDown pays pretty good. And it's going to bring some of the best cars in Indiana and with USAC. So it'll be interesting to see how the Baloo Bulldozer does and then how Brady does. So
I love that, man.
Yeah, that should be a good show. And
you think there's a real rivalry there?
Oh, I don't know.
You think that's contrived a little bit?
I think at the start of the year, it was more of a.
Are they the two best drivers in non-wing?
I would think so. I would say so.
Yeah.
Or in the top five at least. But, I think they were maybe on speaking-ish terms at the start of the season. I think as the year's gone, it's more of a rivalry.
Yeah.
I always get caught up on that word. And, I seen Brady was auctioning off a bent rear axle that was courtesy of the Bulldozer. So I think they're definitely using it to make a profit off of too.
The World of Outlaw late models are going to be they're going to return to Davenport Speedway, the Quad Cities 150 this weekend. That's going to be pretty good, right?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure. Let me double check that the Extreme Midgets are going to run against Rhythm too.
Oh, are they? That would be good. That's good that the World of Outlaws has done this, right? They've got a great support series with the extreme cars. They bring them in there, and they don't have to pay to bring in another support series.
Yeah, they'll be there Friday and Saturday for the Quad Cities 150 with the Extreme Outlaw Midgets.
Oh, wow. How about that? The Lucas Oil late models are going to be at Port Royal. They're going to pay $50,000 to win that race at Port Royal this weekend.
Yeah, I feel like, that's the number we always hear about for late model racing, $50,000. That should be a pretty good show. Port Royal is just, it's one of those tracks, no matter what series is going to be on it. It could be Silver Crown cars, sprint cars, non-wing cars. Mm-hmm. Late models, it always puts on a pretty good show. Track surface and track prep there is, I think, superior to all tracks in the nation.
Yeah.
So, it's where Kyle Larson won his first ever late model race. 2 years ago? I think it might have been this, like, this event 2 years ago that he was able to pick up that win. So it'd be a pretty good show. If Davenport shows up, Davenport's going to be hard to beat.
The guy's just stomping a, kind of a mud hole in everybody right now, right? Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, is there any more dominant driver in motorsports right now than Jonathan Davenport?
I think you could compare him to what Brent Marks and maybe Anthony Macri did with sprint cars, but
right.
I think in motorsports in the U.S. general right now, I think it would have to go to Davenport.
Yeah. The World of Outlaw Sprints are going to return to River City Speedway this weekend. Are you familiar with that racetrack at all?
Yeah, I've seen a handful of races up there, you know, on Dirt Vision. So it's, you know, it's the start of the Northern Dakotas trip, which will lead into the, you know, the West Coast trip here on Labor Day. So, you know, we have Skagit coming up here in a couple weeks, or actually 2 weeks, I think it is. And it's starting to run out of races for the Outlaws. I think we're up on race 50 something now, and
I think they're down to like 20 some races left, right?
I think we have around 50 on the race count so far. I think it's only a 75 race schedule this year, so it's definitely time to get your stuff rolling and crunch time for the top, you know, however many cars and points that have a shot still. I think if you're you know, maybe a David Gravel, Carson Masuda right now, you better start, you know, outperforming Brad Sweet if you want to have a shot at this championship. And Masuda that just well at Jackson, and hopefully he can carry his momentum back to his home state, you know, out in California, and use some of his hometown experience or home state experience to his advantage.
ASC Asuna Region action at Creek County this weekend. It'll pay $2,000 to win. Also this weekend, ASCS Mid-South action at Tri-State Speedway. Again, both of those races are going to pay $2,000 to start. I mean, $2,000 to win and $300 to start those races. So, kind of looking forward to watching a little ASCS race in action. You can probably watch that on Racing Dirt as well. What are you going to do this weekend, Austin? You don't know yet?
I do know, actually.
Is it official now?
My plans have come together overnight, so I'll be, as of now, making a trip for sure to Knoxville on Saturday. I-80's in question. I'll know more tomorrow night, but I wish I was racing, but be helping out Tony Rost on his 360. So I raced Tony a handful of times this year up at I-80 in Knoxville, and always a pretty good competitor. His crew guys are have some obligations they got to meet for this weekend, so
they need some help.
And you know, he saw I was looking for something to do and reached out. And so I'll be spending the weekend up there in maybe Nebraska and Iowa for sure with him.
So you don't know if you're going to I-80, but for sure you're going to Knoxville.
For sure for Knoxville. We're he's waiting on a handful of parts to be delivered hopefully tomorrow. And if they do deliver, we'll be at I-80 on Friday night.
All right. Well, that's a show for today, folks. Don't forget tomorrow, Donnie Schatz is going to join us on the show tomorrow, so hopefully everybody will tune in and check out the 11-time winner of the Knoxville Nationals. He joins us tomorrow. Donnie Schatz on the show. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time, right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.